You won't get to see me shower.
I promise. He's not a fed. I promise. Yes.
Welcome back to another Linux Gamecast Weekly. The show covers the latest Linux gaming news, reviews, how-tos, and sometimes, you know it, whatever the hell else we come up with. If I get on the right page, it'll work better, kids. Watch. Oop. Hey, there it is. We were just talking about big red buns. Anyway, I'm Vince Stone. I'll be piloting the SS Nightmare train tonight in our beautiful little downtown studio, joined every week by Under Construction Jordan. Under construction. He's currently rebuilding himself as we speak. It is horrifying, as you might imagine. And Thin Walls Mateus is, I pulled up your Interpol report and got a couple of your aliases. And, Lightning Spanx was the strangest one.
Constabulo Importante?
If you go back far enough, you'll probably find some really cringy ones from my youths.
Oh, man. Dude, I am so glad that my generation got to be dumbasses on the internet and it just was not on our permanent record whatsoever. I genuinely empathize for like kids being dumbasses right now, teenagers, like we all were, man, preteens, teenagers, doing the stuff that our brains are just like not developed enough to, and like, that's going to be there for the rest of your life, man.
Edgy.
Somebody's going to be pulling that edgelordness up in 20 years at a job interview. And like,
yeah, because it's going to be that dude you fucking trolled. And he's like, hold on a second. I remember you, right?
That might be it, man. What's up? What's new, man? I've just been playing around. I've been editing audio. Editing dialogue is like the most tedious, boring thing in the world. But technology has gotten to the point where you can fix anything just effectively when you do it, so you might as well go ahead and do it. But it's like double tedious, double boring when you get to do it to your own voice. And that is what I spent all day turning 20 minutes of audio into like 10 or 8. Yeah. Yeah.
Rah. More mouth noises.
All the mouth noises, dude. Jordan, outside of just construction, playing with dumpsters.
Yeah, playing with dumpsters, shrinking, rebuilding, all sorts of stuff. Yeah, I was very, very happy that I was able to eat this week. I did all you can eat sushi. I had all I could eat, and I was quite happy about that. Got a big dumpster, and now I get to de-hoard. It's an interesting process where it's like, when the dumpster's there, you really don't have any excuses. You can be like, do I really want to hold on to this? Am I going to keep this for another 5 to 25 years? No, dumpster.
True conversation I had with myself like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Do I need this ultra-wide 2 external SCSI cable? Like, is this going to ever come up?
No, this is my emotional support box of cables.
I didn't win that argument. I put it back.
See, like, with cables, you keep that. No.
Okay, well, explain the 30p power supply power cables that I have.
Everything comes with a kettle lead, so yeah.
But you know what? If you can get a bunch of them of like varying lengths, then you can pick the right one for the job, right? If you want to give yourself a little choky stroke,
dude, I can right legitimately go shopping just in the tech closet here in the studio, man. Like, do you want big, thick, long? Like, what do you want? You want 3-prong, ungrounded?
Depends on the day, right? Depends on what happens to strike me.
And I still haven't found Shockey in there. Shockey's floating around. It's all moved to like the right side. It's a good time. Pedro Mateus, what's up with you? You gotten any further in your Elden bling?
Hi, I'm still exploring the first area because there's I've tried to beat the
lion. I understand you're like a raging kleptomaniac. Is like,
yes, I am.
So are you like systematically squaring it out? Like, okay, get everything on this line, come back. Like,
yeah, pretty much. The first thing I did was I went all around the first area of the map to see where all the entrances to all the dungeons were. Mm-hmm. And then I've gone into most of the dungeons, I think. And I even went into the final one, which gives you access to the next area. But you need to beat the dancing lion. So I tried that boss fight once. I got my shit kicked in very, very quickly. So I said, you know what? I'm going to come back. And I went back out the dungeon to look for more things to do.
Did you dance? Did you jive? Did you have the time of your life?
Uh, the time of my life.
Knock, knock, hi, no, I'm Winter Brothers man. Music.
Man, you gotta listen to some more ABBA, child. What's wrong with you?
Something that has even worse musical taste than one Pedro Mateus is our horse.
I mean, it's a very tall order, but somehow the horse manages to just be on a steady diet of like Carly Rae Jepsen and Nickelback. It's the steam.
Very Canadian music choices there, Jordan.
All Nickelback, all day, 24/7.
It's a very Canadian horse, man. I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know, man. So the big news, the thing we need to get into this week is this guy right here. Game recording on Steam. Look at that. Record, replay. Oh, you'll never know what the other two are.
Reuse, recycle?
Clip and share. So a new built-in system for creating and sharing your gameplay footage. And of course, I had to go play around with it. If you have the Steam, put it in the beta client. Log in. It's a new option under your settings. Tried it right out of the box. Didn't work with my NVIDIA 3060. None of that nonsense was happening. You just hit, you know, assign it a hotkey. It didn't work with the default hotkey, which was, I think, was like F11. I'm like, well, that's not doing anything.
Control F11.
changed it to, I tried Control F11. Like, I had to change it to backspace, then it started working. Go figure that out. It worked on the 5600G. Not a problem. But if you want to make a short little clip and do it, it's fine. You can record longer. It tells you how much storage space you have. Not a whole lot in the way of options, though. You can export it. That was like my big thing. I was like, is this just going to be in my Steam profile? No, you can do an MP4. That comes out and it's, 1080p 60, no matter what resolution you have set, you know, UHD 1440. Steam doesn't care, is going to get downscaled. 1080p 60 AAC audio. And it looks like 12 megabits, but you can set it all the way up to 24 megabits or just like a 1 megabits if you want to watch a kaleidoscope of pixels flying around, which is, you know, fun enough to do. I did spend some time with it, though, on Interfacing Linux because I got a forum. I'm going to use it. And you can go back and, because here's what I was curious about. I'm like, what is the performance impact on this guy? And that's when I realized, like, hey, this is not using the GPU at all. I'm like, well, that's unfortunate. Anyway, unfair fight. I tried it with a Cybertruck, and at 1440p, I was getting, let's see, what was I getting? 65 FPS and average of 5616, and on the Steam capture, that knocked it all the way down to 49 FPS, which is not too good. So I had to try, OBS, and that got me back up to 5988, and that's using the new NV encode. And of course, I tried it on the 5600G. Which made things more confusing, but there's probably some else going on here with the 5600G, of course, AMD, trying it with the Tomb Raider. 43 FPS at 720p is our baseline. I tried it with the GPU hardware, recording disabled, 40 FPS, enable the hardware, 40 FPS. Then I'm like, wait, what's going on here? Maybe it's just not working here. Opened up HTOP, clearly it's working. I mean, it's doing the thing. So I just have more questions than I had when I walked in. Jordan, you tried it.
I did. I also dicked around with Cyberpunk because I was curious to see if there was going to be that performance delta in terms of CPU versus GPU on the dedicated GPU. And it works well enough on the 7800 XT. Turns out that this thing can just run Cyberpunk 2077 on UHD 4K, or sorry, Ultra 4K for at 60 FPS for days. It has no problem with it as long as you don't ask it to ray trace. And yeah, no real performance hits on the CPU versus GPU, even although there is like markedly less CPU utilization under the hardware accelerated encoded. Would like some of that AV one though. That'd be a little nice. I have the hardware, but I guess it's not widely available for everyone just yet.
It should be though, and I really want this because yeah, it is available on the Steam Deck. They make sure to point that out. You still need to be on the beta client on the Steam Deck. It's not on the stable branch just yet, but it's available and it works. And you have, it's always great to see like mainstream gaming websites going, you can just record the thing on your Steam Deck and then you grab the MP4 and you put it on YouTube or you just share it on Steam. It's like, yeah,
one, go figure. One use case the article brings up that I didn't really think about was like if you're a speedrunner or if you're like a competitive gamer, having the ability to just like run shit back and like see how you fucked up or see what other people did is like super valuable, and just not having to worry about that, especially if you just have like the passive mode on, where it just record keeps just like two hours of your footage locally.
And this is where this came from, though. This clip system, some of you are like, wait a minute, this is the thing. You're like, yeah, it is the thing from Dota 2. It's been in Dota 2, and like even the interface is the same. So they've just turned the entire Steam client into that. And to what Jordan's saying, like, if you want the instant replay, that's something you would typically have to have set up with OBS. So having everything right there, or especially for those moments of, like, I didn't plan on needing to record anything, but this is funny. This game's broken weird. You get that quick, nice little recording, put it wherever you need it. So, yeah, this is neat. I don't have anything against it. And, I mean, it does work on Linux, just not with NVIDIA, but...
You can still do the CPU. But, yeah, it is, like, and they have, like, if game developers want to integrate this directly with the game to create, like, specific markers and a timeline for the video that's being recorded, they can. It's available. You can just go look at the documentation and set it up for your own game. It's only working with Counter-Strike 2 and Dota 2, obviously, because, well, Dota 2, it's the game where this came from, so it makes perfect sense. But yeah, it is genuinely nice to have, especially on the Steam Deck, because, well, you don't have to set up OBS yourself or get the flat pack. You can just directly from the game UI on Steam just do it.
Under and over. Next Steam Deck, is it going to have a dedicated record button?
I'm surprised this one didn't. They just didn't use it.
Oh, they're going to send you one in the mail. You stick it on the side. It's Bluetooth. Yeah,
it's like the split keyboard, right? And it needs like a little dangly cord for it.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, it's a dongle that sticks out with a button.
Yeah. Or like
do
a
like Sony pedal. And replace the select button with the share button.
No. It wraps around the Steam Deck and you put it in your mouth. And then if you want to start recording, you gotta, you know, never mind.
No, let's talk about, we got two things to cover with the controllers this week, starting with some stats.
Steam put a news post up there, links to all this stuff in our show notes. And they're saying, hey, you know, since we added controller support to Steam, people are using it. Usage has tripled overall. 42% of the sessions are using Steam input, which is nice. I know Flipit has like a lot of problems with the technical implementation of Steam input and how it plays with SDL, but you know, for the rest of us plebs, it's great to just plug in any controller and have shit work. So the breakdowns they got are 59% of sessions are using Xbox controllers, 26 are using PlayStation controllers. I'm a little sad, but they are expensive. And 10% are just Steam Decks, which I guess makes sense. It is a whole ass computer on its own. And also, it just came out, so it can't have that much penetration, especially when your comparison is, you know, a $30 Xbox controller that you already owned. So
from 2007, yeah. As it turns out, I'm actually surprised that the PlayStation share is 26%. I was expecting a lot lower. Most people on Windows are shit out of luck when it comes to getting them to work, unless the game itself supports it, then their only options are Steam input or the S for Windows. And then again, I suppose I can understand why it is as high as it is. The DualShock 4 is my favorite controller thus far, so yeah, I guess people like them.
I don't know, it got me thinking, man. You know, 59% sessions with Xbox controllers. I mean, that makes sense, because like, for whatever reason, everybody's just got an Xbox controller. Go look under your couch. Like, it's there. And yeah, PlayStation, they're really expensive. And the older I get, we were talking about this in the pre super shows, and there's your ad for the patreon.com/LinuxGameCast. Go back and listen to it. I didn't really start collecting controllers myself until, like, SDL started rolling out. But why... Gamepads just didn't work under Linux, man. Like, there was no point. It's just forget about it and don't bother with it. And I didn't buy consoles. And now that I have them and I'm accustomed to them, you know, I got my Xbox Series, whatever it is, and I got a PS4 controller and I got a Steam controller, which, you know, it's their moral support, you know, emotional support.
Steam controller. When you want to play Quake 2, you know.
Yeah, right. And but the older I get, the more I start looking for outside FPSs. I'm not that low yet. I prefer games with controller support so I can, like, sit back and play. I don't always want to be, like, hunched over.
I think it was always, like, kind of a pain point with PC gaming, though, because for a lot of, like, action games, playing that stuff on keyboard sucks. Like, hands down. You want a controller. I remember my It's somewhere that like Logitech F310 or whatever. I bought that specifically for Forgotten Realms Demonstone because I'm like, I can't play this game with a keyboard and mouse. This is terrible. I want a controller. I want something that resembles a PS2 controller to play with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I played most of Demonstone was on the PS2.
Yeah. But I will like to add that there's a gentle reminder at the end of this blog post. It's like, yeah, by the way, this is all available to you for free, red 30% of your game sales. Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
That's what the 30%'s getting you.
But Steam Input's so nice. Just having it right there. We're like, I want to change that. Done. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, if you've just always had it or you've just gotten into it and it's there now and you don't worry about it, you just bought a Steam Deck and this is your first encounter with like Linux gaming, my apologies. Hi. But yeah, I'm glad it's there. I'm glad they keep on working on it. But
the gyro support stuff has come a long way as well, which is like a lot more games are leveraging that, especially if you want to play like FPSs on your Steam Deck or whatever. Right?
100%. That's not the only bit of controller news we have, because I was like really excited there for, yeah, maybe 2 minutes.
Yeah, but you're not in Japan, so you're not cool enough. So Hori, you might recognize them if you are a fan of fighting games and Fight Sticks. They make some pretty high quality controllers and parts, and they are going to be making some Steam controllers. Not that kind of Steam controller. Get your mind out of the gutter. These are Hori controllers for PC. You know, Japan has a very, very strong console culture with their gaming. Valve is trying to make some inroads, so they're trying to bridge the gap. They're saying, hey, you know, you can, sort of piggybacking on that last story, you can play your PC games with the controller. There's a special controller for your PC games, and it comes with 4 extra buttons, gyro support in Steam mode, whatever the fuck that means. It has a turbo mode, because, you know, turbo mode, that's the feature people are in huge demand of.
Third-party controllers gotta have turbo mode, man.
Absolutely. It has Bluetooth and wired. And yeah, like, they look like nice-ish controllers.
That left analog stick is in the wrong place, and there's a shocking lack of areolas. If you're going to make the Steam controller too, you gotta have them nipples to rub, man. Just
maybe, man. I wanted to get excited about that, but we don't have rumble on this, don't have any haptics on it, it doesn't vibrate, and you can't like get it to shake. It's gonna be about $50, and you don't have to worry about it. None of us have to worry about it, because it's gonna be just for Japan. And Hori's like, well, I don't have any plans to sell this anywhere else right now. And I don't think they will, because, like, this is not the Steam controller you were looking for. This is a Hori controller with a Steam button on it. Yay, that's neat. Here's my question. Hori, you want to sell me something? When am I going to get a Steam Sidewinder?
I want twisties. Yeah, bring back the twisties.
Right? Let's do that. Yeah, so there's that. Was excited, then I wasn't excited, but do you think we'll see more?
I do like the neon green controller. I like that. If they ever do end up showing on this particular side of the world, I might pick one of the bright green ones.
a nice chartreuse.
Where are we at with turbo buttons, though, man? Like, I never think about them until maybe every 2 years. I'm like, man, if I had a turbo button right now.
Because I guess like most games just do that. Turbo is kind of like implied in the thing. If you just hold down A, it'll just go boing 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 boing. Right? It's not really.
Some games,
not really a thing.
Others will just go, oh, you pressed it once. That's it.
All right, what do we got up next? Good news, everybody. Steam users, we spent $19 billion on games they've never played. I've played some of them. Doesn't matter. This comes from PC Games In. And they just go through this, dig through some numbers, and turns out, like, out of all the registered Steam accounts in the world, only 10%, 73 million Steam IDs are public, and the data crunch the numbers together, and you calculate it nice and hard, and you end up with that 1.9 billion wet sneaky caches, or 1.4 billion pounds. That's wild, man. That's wild. So, pile of shame. Did anybody take this test because I did? Here. There we go. Well, my Steam account that is only as old as Linux Gamecast is. So,
I tried. I set my thing to public, and it would not refresh. I checked all fucking day.
Oh, and man.
Yeah, you can just type unaccounted for into the Steam ID search at the top there and see the 564 and counting. Yeah. And the summer sale is on, so that's not helping.
Since 2011, man. Mine's not too bad. 179 unplayed games. And most of that's like stuff like Humble Bundle and keys that I've redeemed just to have, you know, especially like when Humble's like, these keys expire now because of reasons. I'm like, geez, man, come on. All right. I added a bunch of games in there, so.
Yeah, I imagine like most of that is just Humble Bundles, because like how many bundles have you bought for like a game and you don't give a shit about the other ones? Well, you know, once I was thinking about that. Once upon a time, the first Humble Indie Bundle that came out, I made it a point to at least try all those fucking games because they were on Linux.
Right.
And one of them might have been good. And
I made it a point of doing that for the first three or four bundles. That was like, oh, just new games for Linux. Yes.
I was so excited when Torchlight 1 was a thing. Like, I don't care that I'm going to have a head. This is dope as hell.
I remember, I think it was Humble Indie Bundle 5 that had Amnesia and Bastion and Psychonauts and Limbo. Was it Limbo in that one? No. Or was it?
I think Limbo might have been the first one, I want to say.
I think Limbo was in the first one.
But yeah, five was the big one that people actually started paying attention. Wait a second. All of those games are now Linux native. Huh.
That's wild, man. But like one thing you ran across that I thought was pretty neat was the Steam Summer Sale. I got to find a new font. I got to figure out what that font is because I want to replace featured with something else. Feature deep discounts. And
finger deep discounts.
Yeah, something like that. Something like that. Nothing amazing here, but this is all the 90% off stuff. And there's not a lot of them. I own most of them. They're already in my library. But you know what? Baby steps. And I think it's a good idea with these baby steps because you get people like me. There's potential sales to be made where otherwise there just wouldn't be. Open up the wish list, I'm like 50%, 60%. I'm like, nothing in there I need. But when I see something like 90% off, even a game, I'm going to add it to my unplayed list, but like it's $1.99, it's, you know, $2.99, $3.99, $5.99, something like that. I might buy it. I just might because do I really need another game I'm going to finish and never play? No, I don't need that game, but I'm going to pick it up. Put that shit in front of me. Make it easy to like just sort through the sales without having to go to SteamDB and do that because
it's kind of the thing where you're at the grocery store and they have like the like dollar things right by the exit, right? Mm-hmm. You'll just be like, yeah, I'll just for a buck, why not?
Like, why not? Might as well. So yeah, good on you, Steam, for like doing that. We need more of that because most people don't even know SteamDB. That's the best place to go for the sales. Yes. They got a great thing where you can just punch in all the numbers and just scroll and find what you need. And I still don't find anything yet. It's not over. But let's talk about a little bit of Steam Deck news here. The top of May, right?
Yes, getting married in the month of May. it's the new releases that came out in the month of May on Steam, like the big ones. Apparently, Hades 2 was pretty good, obviously, if the first one was massively popular, then the second one was going to be.
I like how it was in early access on the Epic Game Store for a whole ass year, and no one gave a shit until it came out on Steam.
I think people are starting to finally realize that once the game comes out on the Epic Store, you wait a year for the beta test to be over,
and then you get it on Steam. It's first early access, and then you get second early access.
Yeah. And Senua's Saga, I was very, very happy to see Sulaco did as well as it did, because that is besides the technical accomplishment of doing all of that in GZ Doom, it's apparently a very, very nice game to be had. And there's also a porn game, because it has survival elements. Okay.
If you're too horny for Hades, we got porno games for you.
Yeah.
And Hades is pretty horny. It's very horny.
Yeah, no, that's just straight up a hentai game with survival elements. Okay. Cool. Neat.
What are the ones, let me see.
What are we looking at?
I was looking for earlier where it had I thought I saw It Takes Two on here when I originally posted this. Maybe I didn't. That was some crackhead stuff then. All right, never mind. Hallucination. I'm AI. Or, oh, wait. Doesn't this thing do, like, the random generation with the,
It won't show you adult-only games if you're not signed in. That's it. That's the only limitation.
All right. Never mind. Crackhead moment. Moving on. Half-Life and its failed OS.
Oh,
wait,
no, it is there if you go to Story Rich. If you click on Story Rich, it is there.
Where's Story Rich at?
Under top new releases.
If you scroll down. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, yes. So...
It wasn't in the top 20. It was somewhere all in right. there.
semi-crackhead moment.
This one popped back up, and I thought it was interesting because we talked about it a couple weeks ago because EA got rid of the launcher on it so it would work on Steam Deck, and they made some fixes to make it work on Steam Deck, which I thought was worth giving it a mention, EA. Like, good. There. Ah, I've said my piece. Now,
very good.
Let's talk about what Half-Life failed on OS 9, which I didn't really care about, and I still don't care about. It failed. You know what? Bad blood between Valve and Apple. Why? Because Apple kept lying to Valve, and Valve was like, we've had enough of this shit. Turned out the game was, like, basically cooked. It was baked. But what I didn't know was, here at the end, Valve and Apple with Proton. Apparently, Valve originally intended to release Proton from Mac OS X, and that never came to be, man. Why was that, Jordan?
Because they don't support Vulkan?
That'll do it.
Among other things.
I mean, that's the main one that sort of Proton requires to work good, no?
And when you think about it, man, we don't even remember this stuff. The original, what was it, the Valve Index?
Yeah.
The first one, it was shown off at the Apple event.
Mm-hmm.
Like
HTC Vive.
Vive, all right, that one. So it never went down. Like, that sucks, dude. If I was like, because it would be cool, right? To have like another version, because that would help Proton out too.
Mm-hmm.
And the Wine Project.
I mean, like, if that potentially opens the door for Proton to be ported to stuff like BSD as well. And then you just get games everywhere. That's just mm-hmm. good all around.
Right. And they get the experience of like working on ARM and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's always good to hear from old Burger Becky. She was one of the devs. She was the team lead on that ill-fated project. So she has all the dirt and apparently a floppy disk labeled verboten in her several floppy disks.
Right.
With full running builds of Half-Life for the Mac that you can just fucking boot up and play.
Maybe it'll get released one day. Like it. What was it? The Dreamcast version of Half-Life got leaked.
Yeah. Something like that. It'll end up in an estate sale somewhere, and I mean, like, this sort of just goes on to show you that, like, Apple has a history of just making it very difficult for developers to, like, you know, succeed on their platform, either by, like, having marketing people who lie and then leave, and then they're like, oh, we don't quote sales figures.
Right. And they were like, oh, you'll ship 500,000 units, and, like, Valve got to work on it, and they came back and were like, more like 50.
Becky was saying, like, fucking Quake 2 did like 20,000, and that was like mm-hmm. a runaway success. So 50K is like gangbusters for Mac sales, but it's like 10% of what they were promised.
That's Valve, coincidentally enough, gave Apple two chances. The first one, it ended with Valve basically saying, no Valve game will ever be ported to macOS. Of course, then the second chance came along and it actually kind of took off, and it lasted for a good bit, right up until last week when they were talking about it, when they decided to cut support for most of the Valve games that were available on macOS are now just not. So since Valve can't count to three, is that it? Is macOS done?
Listen, it's Valve's fault that they have not gone further out of their way to support macOS. And the experience is so bad.
Clearly.
You don't understand. You don't understand how Valve is the bad guy.
Listen,
here.
Dude, I'm genuinely surprised that they did a 64-bit client for them. Like, let's just be real. So, yeah. Couple of game updates this week, though.
Oh, yes. And one that I did not expect. Thank you, Artheron, for putting this on Discord earlier in the week. Distance! Yes, that game, it's still getting updates. I genuinely thought we'd seen the last of it, but no. 1.5, the Kinetic update, is now available. You can just play it if you own the game. They've introduced a 64-bit client, coincidentally enough. New Steamworks for integration with Steam Workshop and multiplayer and everything else. Basically, all of the background stuff that the game would require for Steam integration. That's what Steamworks does. They've fixed a bunch of things with the Steam Deck and improved a bunch of things with controller support. And that all sounds amazing. My question was, did they finally fix the genuine cock-up that the game used to have, which was if you played like 5 or 6 levels in a row, once you finish that race and you click next level, the game would just crash. And I wondered, legitimately wondered, is that fixed? Sort of. As in, the game doesn't crash, but after like 6 or 7 races, it just refuses to download the ghosts, the replay ghosts. You just, the game doesn't progress unless you go into the options and disable the downloading of the ghosts. You can't play anymore because it'll just not do it. So
no sweetie for you.
It needs fixing.
Did they take out a thing where you can hack your way through all the maps? No.
Yeah.
No. I think that's still a part of the cheater pumpkin eater. Yeah.
Oh man, I was readjusting airflow. Did you cover all the stuff I put in the show notes?
I didn't mention your bits. No.
All right. 15 new community levels, which is nice, and we get haptics on the Steam Deck. So it jiggles.
Hey. Yes.
Jiggly decks.
This is, I think distance serves as a good thing of like, it was one of the early ones of like, you got to get out of early access at some point. Because it just, you know, you had the hype.
But that built. Single player campaign though.
Oh God, no. Like, and it's also an example of why you shouldn't slap 1.0 and just call it a fucking day, right?
At least one of the things, because I went back and I've been playing it a bit more now. They also have the, when it was called Nitronic Rush, they have that original campaign in there as well that you could play through. It has some modifications to work with the distance physics, but that's there. You can play through it. It's very nice.
And you got to understand, this game is so long ago that SDL didn't exist.
Yeah.
When development started on this.
Early Unity.
Yeah, all right. It was a sparkle. idea in Hiculus's head, but yeah. So yeah, it's good to see, man. Good to see. Happy to see it. So what do we get up next?
We've talked about Julius and Augustus more than a little bit on the show several times actually. Caesar 3 was always one of those building games that I wanted to like, but I just couldn't. And this is Akhenaten, which is the fork of Julius/Augustus, but for Pharaoh rather than Caesar. So yeah, they have a new version. 0.22 is out.
This is a hostile screenshot. You know, I get on the people about not having screenshots of their games in their GitHub page. I'm like, I'll give you a little bit. Deal with it. Shut up.
This is what happens when you play.
That's it. No,
that's what happens when you play this game at like ultra wide at like 2650x1440 or some shit.
That's one of the advantages of having a open source engine re-implementation. You have a monitor with a weird ass resolution.
That's
probably supports it. But yeah, it is. You can dock your ships now. Apparently, docks were a thing in the game, and they never worked properly. So now they do. There's a flat pack. If you don't want to bother with building it yourself, just grab the flat pack. And why is my camera blinking?
I don't. That is your camera, huh?
I think so.
I've been trying to track that down.
All right. Okay.
We're having fun times. Like we're doing a bunch of stuff live. Right. This is like the first real like super heat test of the studio for the summer. So I'm like running around trying to adjust airflow.
I just saw the return video blank. So I was like, "Is that my camera?"
Yeah.
Blank?
I
oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, he's there. No, it's getting hot in there. I can. You're like visibly shiny now. I can see that, Jim.
Oh yeah, we're melting. All right, do we get anything else on this?
Yeah, the boats work because they added. They're adding a bunch of new classes to the framework. They have the Empire Logic has its own class now, which means that I guess you can have more detailed behavior of NPC sides. But for now, it means that boat based commerce will work. it's good to see they're chugging away at it. Open source implementations rock. Loved, yeah. Slightly
as game less preservation goes, stopkillinggames.com. Engine re-implementations are the best way to do it.
Indeed. Less exciting though, but still, necessary. Mouth. No, I'm gonna open wide and gluck,
Jordan,
gluck.
This is big news for 80% of the market, okay?
For people who don't know how to operate a run file.
Yes. Also that, well, they might have to wait a couple more weeks and it'll be in the AUR or wherever it's supposed to show. Now, I talked about this when it was in beta. We're talking about the 555.58 drivers for your NVIDIA GPU, man. In case you missed it, man, this is the release, man, that I was like, time to get playing around with it. Why? Because it does the Wayland explicit sync with EGL, which, you know, allegedly just fixes all the Wayland issues. This comes with that GSP open source firmware, which is really neat. You got an option right there to install it, whether or not you want to use it. And the ability to switch between the proprietary and open kernel modules, like right when you start building the run file. I don't know how all this works with the packaging shit. This is only learn to use the run files, kids. And one thing that made me weirdly excited is they're going to be using finally EGL instead of OpenGL or GLX for the NVI FPC, which is the frame buffer control that is technically only available in Quadros, or, you know, what passes for Quadros these days. But there may or may not be a very simple way to patch your driver to flip that little bit, and there may or may not
that silicon still exists on your card.
It's in the card, man. be a plugin to take advantage of that hasn't been able to work for the past several years because OBS switched to EGL instead of GLX. There's a chance that could come back. What does this plugin do? It basically gives you performance-free zero-hit full screen capture in OBS, utilizing the hardware that you paid for. That's on your card. That's disabled because reasons.
Because that leather jacket needs more polish.
Right.
Yeah, people on Windows got shadow play. People on Linux got a big dose of fuck you.
I gotta say, though, having spent almost...
It's not just my camera. I saw it happen on Jordan's too.
Maybe it's a Navy One thing. But maybe after going Team Red, I'm a little wistfully nostalgic for these driver updates. Once upon a time, it was like, oh yeah, it's time to go do stuff. Now I get driver updates to whenever I run a DNF update, and it's nice. I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah,
pretty dope.
Although I did like the change log was this is the stuff from this beta. This is the stuff from this beta. This is the stuff from this beta.
That's a really good point, because honestly, frankly, the release notes from NVIDIA drivers have been pretty lacking these days in terms of quality. So, like, having even a breakdown of, like, here's where all the fucking things are introduced, that's way better than what we've been getting.
And then anything's better than Discord Android updates, various bug fixes.
Yeah, right.
No, they gotta show you know, nothing at all so that people don't have to scroll.
We updated the Chromium embedded framework because it's a fucking nightmare-ridden piece of garbage.
Oh, man. Speaking of OBS, there's a new release candidate out. Candidate 1, 3 days ago, 30.2. I want to give this a mention just because it's got a bunch of cool stuff going on in it. Linux support, we get native NVI encode. You don't have to use FFmpeg. With NVI encode like you used to. This is built right into OBS. AV1 support, which is really nice, and shared texture support for the Quick Sync and VAPI, along with a new look, gentlemen. Along with a new look, which it looks different.
Does it move stuff around? Is it going to piss me off?
Not really. It's just visually different. Like, we changed some icons, and the mixer's the biggest one. The mixer looks like a regular mixer now.
I see. It's not like a YouTube studio update where it's like, where am I? What year is this?
No.
Literally everything is different. It's like, how the fuck do I anything?
or GitHub likes to do that too, where they'll just like push out a new UI and you're like, I don't know where to clone my code from.
What's going on, man?
All right. So our last bit tonight is a bit of lunacy from GOG. And when Jordan takes that, I'm going to go adjust air control.
Yeah. All right. So, Luna, Amazon Luna, it's not my dog, although it is arguably less fun than my dog. Less people like it than they do my dog. I don't know. I'm going to stop talking about it. I'm going to start talking about the Amazon service, which has to do with game streaming. My dog. It has to do with the game streaming. You might remember stuff like Stadia or NVIDIA GeForce Now. This is Amazon's equivalent of it. Runs on AWS, uses their own servers. You can probably running on EC2 Windows VMs with like NVIDIA Tesla GPUs or the whatever the fuck they're called these days. I don't remember. The name escapes me. But they have partnered up with GOG, good old games. And now if you buy games on GOG and you have it linked to your Amazon Prime Gaming or Luna account, they will now be able to be played on Luna. So if you are on your phone, or if you're trying to play Witcher 3 and your computer predates Witcher 3 and you're having a little bit of trouble running it, you'll be able to run it within Amazon's computer, and so on and so forth. And, you know, it's surprising that someone other than Microsoft is trying this. And I gotta ask, was Amazon Gaming desperate, or was GOG desperate? Maybe it was a little bit of both, a little bit of like, hey, what if we just kissed a bit? Because honestly, this is one way to get people to try Luna who otherwise would never take it a look. They're saying that the game saves are synchronized via GOG Galaxy, which is marginally not very useful on Linux, but still, it's good to see. That was the big concern with Stadia. If once they shut down, what happens to my game save? In this case, if it is linked to your GOG account, you'll be able to pick it up when you have a computer that can run the thing. I do like this whole notion of it's DRM free plus super DRM, so it just evens out to like regular DRM. They're very clear that like this is four games that you purchase. You're not giving up any rights. If you're you will get access to more games if you are a Luna Plus member rather than if you have the basic bitch Prime Gaming. I don't know. It seems like a no brainer.
We get like someone should cancel their Prime subscription.
Yes. you get like regular games with your Prime subscription too. It's that weird thing where like sometimes you'd be like, oh yeah, Knights of the Old Republic 2 for free.
Right, I mean, that's interesting, man. I mean, first thing I wrote in the show notes was like, GOG would like to remind everybody that Luna exists. I'm like, right. And, you know, with this though, I kind of feel like this is just my initial thought. I was like, this has got to be a bid to like get more value add for Luna or some games on it. How many games are on Luna? Let's go look that 40. Now, some
people
of them
are a little shy after Stadia. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm going to get into. Like, I mean, some of them are like recent games, bigger titles, but you know, like everybody, not just Amazon, but everybody with the whole game streaming thing. That party, man, has just kind of got blown up because we now know what happens to those games that you just straight up don't own, don't get your hands on. They disappear, and like Google like might give you a credit in a couple of months, but yeah, it's game streaming's got an uphill battle thanks to Google nuking Stadia. But if you are unaware, yeah, this works on Linux. Like Luna just works out of the box with anything that's a Chrome-based 86 plus. Like just go for it, do it, you're done.
You probably want to use Chrome anyway to get proper controller support because Firefox, that shit needs fixing.
Damn it, John.
I was looking at the country list. That's because Luna is still very, very limited. At least it supports some European countries now. It's available in the UK, Germany, France, Italy, Spain, Poland, Austria, and the Netherlands. Still no Portugal. The hell?
I know for a fact Portugal.
That's the thing. I know for a fact that Portugal has a higher population density than at least three of those countries, but you know,
they have a positive GDP.
Yes. I think in terms of finances, they're probably better off than Portugal because Portugal is shit. But yeah, no, it's, I like this idea because it gives NVIDIA a bit of competition in the GeForce Now market, because that's the only option if you wanted to have streaming for games that you already own, that you don't have to buy the streaming version specifically. GeForce Now was your only option. If GOG is getting into bed with Amazon, might as well do something good and give people the ability to play their GOG libraries on the go with Luna. That's good.
I was honestly shocked that like there was not an arrangement like this between like Epic and Stadia. That would have like that would have been the killer. That would have actually like given both platforms like some degree of legitimacy. But
I mean, it would have been like it would have been the same case. Like, could you imagine if like Luna had like Steam access? Like, oh, there you go, done. Yeah. All right, that makes sense. And now all of a sudden you just have Steam will probably get around to this, though, right?
They already have
in a good
Steam
way.
Streaming,
like
Steam PC rentals,
Steam Remote Deck. When you, I don't know, man, they'll figure something out.
Steam Yacht.
Yeah.
No, they used to have like just the in-home streaming, but now you can access it remotely.
You still have the Steam Link app.
Again,
there's still the use case of like, hey, I have a computer that cannot run this game, or right. I'm in an area that doesn't have like good.
Roll out their own service, like I could see this maybe coming to something like this ish coming or, to Valve.
This would actually be a fucking solution to remote play together, is if everyone just dialed into a fucking central client and we all get terrible latency.
Yes.
But everyone had
to fucking deal with
yes.
it.
Yeah. But again, it's a level playing field, so it's fine.
Ah, do it, Valve. We dare you. All right. That's going to wrap it up for the news. Before we get out of here, we do have a feedback thing. Let us know if you use Luna. That's a good topic. Like, leave me a comment. And I'm sure somebody's all like, yeah, use it to play this, or when I'm out and about, like whatever. I'm genuinely curious about that. But if you want to get in touch with us, head over to linuxteamcast.com, hit the contact button, leave a comment on YouTube. If you're like one of our super awesome patrons, do it on the Patreon post and we'll definitely get back to you. Almost certainly going to get that in the show. At least we're going to get your questions answered. This first one comes from I know not of where.
Yes, from I FX put it in Boy. The show notes
because FX Boy contacted me.
Personally, great. All right, so they say they're talking about Zadors, and they said, just listen to last week's LGC. Yes, I am that far behind. Tell Jordan he needs to make a Zardoz visual novel with voiceovers, or he will never be forgiven. Well, you're not going to forgive me anyways, because it's just going to be fucking even more terrible than you expect. So, no, fuck you. Not going to do it. You can't make me. You will have to get Sean Connery to rise from his grave and force me to write that visual novel if you want that to happen.
Is Sean Connery dead? I don't think so, but you know, maybe sometime in the future.
Put the fucking pox on people, there? Dude. Goddamn.
I thought he was dead. Is he still alive?
100 over.
Let's.
Is he like 100 now or something?
Oh no, he is dead.
2020.
Huh. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Don't you fucking gaslight me, oh, about James Bond,
motherfucker! You could taste the uncertainty on that shit. You're like,
yeah. I was like, I did not know. I knew his mind was gone. I knew he was like very, very deep into Alzheimer's, and I was
that's
pretty
a different
sure.
Type of
God. Yeah, I was pretty sure he had died because like that was like 4 or 5 years ago. So
right. 2020.
Yeah,
4 years ago.
Yeah. 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah. Ba bam. But not that, because that would be terrible. Rest in peace, Sean Connery.
R.I.P. in peace.
One of our longtime viewers, Eshep, wrote in, because we were talking about, like, Wookin YouTube nubs or something. I don't know. What's going on?
Have you been Wookin for nub in all the wrong places? Have tired of all those nice warm socks with pockets on them that YouTube says will make you more comfortable? Ever wondered if you could have your own ooh tubes at home that only wants you to bend over when you want to bend over? How about letting some other more friendly tube peer at your bits for a bit? I know I got no business telling people to use something they probably don't care to fuck with, but with all the current / new YouTube shenanigans looking more and more invasive versions of the previous actions, I felt my duty as a longstanding advocate for free and open source software to bring a probably already discussed solution to the table for discussion. Cheers.
Peace. Here to
zoom tight on that last sentence there. That
I'm not going to blame Isha for that. That was Brad, dude. Brad fucked that up. He was just trying to give us the horns, man.
Okay.
That's all he was trying to do.
Mercedes Benz.
Yeah. PeerTube's interesting, but don't need another bill.
Yeah, you got to pay for the hosting on that one. YouTube still has that advantage. You just give them the thing. It's like, you host it. And they go, okay.
YouTube has it's the content delivery network that gives you like $20 a month. Pays you. Now, one thing I do, and like any other tech tuber does, you'll definitely find a whole world you didn't know about. Go to Odyssey.com. Why? Because Odyssey has a thing that just mirrors your videos when you upload them. That's like Lewis Rosman and all of like, you know, I don't know if like Linus Tech Tips, but like Gamers Nexus, and, you know, all your regulars, like we all have. Then you get to see the people who are just couldn't cut it on YouTube. It's fascinating.
Does it still have like, because I remember the game that you went to Odyssey and you scrolled, you picked an instance and you scrolled and it was a amount of scrolls until porn.
I think they cleaned it up. Now it's a front end for the library, right?
Yes.
Which was like the one that was based on like crypto or something like that. I'm not 100% exactly how it worked, but no, let's see. Where are we at? We got a browser.
I never really dicked around with any of like PeerTube or like Odyssey or whatever. So I don't really know what's on there. I assume some of it is just mirrored stuff and others is just like the worst awful shit that.
Yeah, it's YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like the stuff that is unfiltered out of my view by YouTube.
So the moral of that is rely on YouTube to give you your videos. I don't like the recommendations on YouTube. Why? Because they're going to give you the fucking same video you watched.
Mm-hmm.
Over and over, and you're like, I've already watched that. And I'm like, okay, I'll leave you alone for two weeks.
Or they do that shit where they try to drive engagement and they're like, we're going to like identify the polar opposite shit that you're into and we're going to fill your feed full of it so that you get mad.
Right?
Nemo, I'm just saying, someone would pay to watch that.
Also, probably on there, man. There was some maths professor that was doing his like streaming on RedTube or something like that, and he's making bank. People are tuning in to watch it.
Right.
Like, and he's not sexing it up, man. He's just there with a board, like walking people through it.
There were some like, weren't there like some like Elden Ring clips on Pornhub or whatever? There's like, men get smashed by five dudes.
Yeah, no, there usually are like those clips, like actual bit of news. Like,
what Eshep is saying here is, YouTube needs a competitor, but we're never going to see one. Not in our lifetime. Nobody's got that money. Nobody's got the drive to do it. And the people who could do it, they do have the money and they got the infrastructure to do it. Valve, have no interest in. Like, who want?
Microsoft. They tried and they, you know what? They probably could have made that succeed. Honestly,
Google couldn't even make it succeed. That's why they bought YouTube.
Well, that's why they bought, what was it, Mixer or whatever?
No, that was Microsoft. They didn't.
That was Microsoft that had Mixer, and then they sold it to Facebook.
Microsoft, that was a tech buy. They didn't. Microsoft had zero fucking interest in owning a streaming company. They went in there. They got their low latency tech for desktop shit. They ripped those people out and they sold it for parts. That was the plan from day one, man.
Then why pay Ninja the several $1 million contract?
Because the people running Mixer had an impossible fucking deadline to meet or they were going to get axed and they're like, fuck, let's nuke options, man. Like, see if we can actually make this impossible thing happen. And it didn't work.
Joke's on them. They still got axed. So
yeah, that happened, man. I don't think we'll ever see anything. I want like decentralized video. Just if it gets good and centralized, or at least searchable, that would be nice. Because even on like the library thing, Odyssey's just one of the many, many fucking front ends. You know, it's a front end to like federated video. And you run into the same like with Mastodon. It takes an incredibly long time to build up your Mastodon follow list because you got to run into people on these different instances, and you're like, oh, you're neat, you're neat.
And then you got to track them down on other servers too, so that
then you get. Listen, I'm not. You get the people who stay on an instance for possibly 30, 32 seconds.
Yeah. Oh, I see. You two got that follow from the same person you followed back like three or four times already.
I could probably name five or six people right now, like weekly, they're on a new instance because I get a follow from them.
Like, yeah, it's like, come on, guys, it's like. The like,
I don't know. Like, hey, okay, here you go. There's your comment right there. Like, why do you do that?
Like, is it the same people who distro hop? People who just like they like the idea more than they like the notion of like sitting down and using it.
Or like, you know, I want to talk because like you can talk to different Mastodon instances. Like, it doesn't really matter. Like,
yeah, and that's the thing. Distro hopping, I can sort of see it because you're using a distro and you break it and you can't be fucked with fixing it, so you try something else. Sure. How do you fuck up the the Mastodon instance that you registered your account on? Were you just that obnoxious to the people that you just got banned?
Listen, I have no friends in real life or the internet.
No,
for a very good reason.
Even about like what Pedro's saying, these are not people who are like unhinged ass clowns. That's why the question. Now, what you're saying is possible. I'm just saying the people that I'm aware of that I see that follow me back, you know, constantly, like this is something that happens multiple times every month. I want to know what you're up to, man. Just, yeah, I don't want to pry in your fucking business, but like, what's going on?
I have a friend who, whenever he forgets,
what are you doing?
I have a friend who, whenever he forgets a password for something, he just registers for a new account.
Hmm.
But the link is right there below the thing.
It doesn't matter, Pedro. I've had this conversation with him. He doesn't care.
You just don't roll hard enough, Pedro.
It's sullied. It's dirty now. He needs a new account.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got to get this train back in the station to get some coolant in it before it melts the fuck down. Thanks everybody for joining us. If you like what we do, we would love your support. If you are currently one of our beautiful party patrons, patreon.com/LinuxGameCast, link in the description. Come get a gang of bonus shit we throw in, kicking us $1 a week, $1,000 a week, however you want to roll with it. That gets you on our Discord, which you can also do if you are a Twitch subscriber. Come play Trackmania with us on Tuesdays and Fridays. Jordan's down playing with Worlds on Thursdays. It's awesome. Nothing but chaos and good, lighthearted fun. LinuxGameCast.com support buttons. You're going to be your best friend. Then we'll be your best friend. You know, long as the check clears. #LGCcures.
Buy our friendship.
There we go. Buy internet friends. Be old school about it.
Pay no attention to Slickback in the corner there. Just the man in the purple hat. He's just there for a good time. Don't worry.
Yeah, so you got to rock and roll with it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode. We somehow made it through it. Time to cue the music. If you want to get in touch with me, head over to that federated Mastodon instance, mast.linuxgamecast.com. I'm just Vin hanging out there. I'm on X at Vin Stone. I still post there. Blue Sky, I log in and post the shows the same way I do with our corporate Facebook account. You're not going to get a lot of interaction from me there. Or head over to Interfacing Linux if you get an AV question or something going on. Or if you just want to read like my full post about me playing around with my backspace button recording stuff. Yeah.
I'm just so sticky. Follow me on Twitter at The Burning Fool, on Mastodon at Frojo at mast.linuxgamecast.com, or on Blue Sky at Frojo at bsky.app.
I'm not particularly greasy this evening. I did shower earlier, so there's that. If you'd like to watch me shower, that's going to require
OnlyFans.com/unaccounted for.
How dare you? We just got done. We need federated OnlyFans. Only feds.
But, no.
Only feds.
Only feds, yes.
Not accounted
for at mass.linuxgamecast.com for just social media things. I promise you won't get to see me shower.
I promise he's not a fed. I promise.
Yes.
Only feds.
Yes, pretty much, right?
Well,
easily described show, easy podcast.
Very. Got to thank our advisors, Omegas and Arthur, and our executive producers, Barb Ramp, Scott, Atomic, Mike, Tomaj, David, Eshep, Ian, Kurducky, 12345, Haplo, Drummer, and our little Nikki fans. They are Super Destote, Empty, Glorious Eggroll, Turbo Tree Sloth, and that's it.
And our Seamosses, Renault, Rider X, Machina, Trudgy, Veritanuga, Justin, Darkwing, SysMT, Dezinger, The Kresny, OU1, and Frostclaw. And the Death Notes, Nova, Chad, Romeo, Renee, Leonardo, Kim, Chris, Stephen, Jill, Benjamin, Doom, Do Not Watch, Stephen B, Beck, Dodger, Xeno, Rue, Turnover, Pebble, M Foxdog, Swine, Jalu, and Piper. There we go.
and all of our fine upstanding cannibals, Carl, Mike, Arthur, and Linux New, Aldius, Noctilus, Johnny, Shep, Gametron, you know, DSN, Joe, Aromatic Dev, Kai, Jorai, thank you for picking up stuff off the Amazon Studio wish list, but don't let that be your only stop. Pedro, Jordan, and Jill also have them as well. Send in a note. We'll read it off if it's raunchy enough. Or, you know, share with us your plans about
that. If it's nice, we'll read it too.
OnlyFans.com.
Give us your soup recipes.
Yes. I'll allow it. Fine. Sure. Till next week. Died of fire.
I like soup.
I like turtles.
I like turtle soup.
Five dudes.